Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Of all the fairs and festivals you can find this time of year, we haven't seen anything like the recent gathering in Fishers, a vast temporary village resembling a scene from the Middle Ages, right down to the jousting knights. Yes, real jousting, guys clobbering each other, getting knocked off horses. This is the Renaissance Fair in Fishers. Lots of people in costumes. As they say around here, they party like it's $15.99. And one fellow we met was dressed like an extra from Pirates of the Caribbean, maybe a little like Captain Jack Sparrow himself.
My name is David Ballou from Cleveland, Tennessee. I'm working here at the Renaissance Festival selling swords and armor.
Tell me about the outfit that you're wearing.
Sort of a medieval fantasy assassin outfit, maybe a mercenary of some type. People see it and it just spurs their imagination.
What kind of reaction do you get from folks?
From older people, it's usually, wow, that's really cool. From younger kids, I get one of two reactions. I either get, wow, that's really cool, or I get, hide behind dad.
Tell me about why people do this and what they like about it.
In a lot of ways, it's kind of a fantasy world, much like video gaming or whatnot. You put on all your gear, you have a character that you get into. You go out to the Renaissance Festival and interact with hundreds of other people who've also got characters and various garb on. Everybody's friendly and everybody's kind of living in the same fantasy medieval world.
Tell me about the things you have for sale here. What is this business called and what do you have?
This is called Hamish's Dreck. We sell leather armor, swords, staves, all sorts of costume accessories. That's the primary focus really is costuming and costume accessories.
What's it cost to put a character together, would you say?
I've seen people spend anywhere from $60 to $6,000 easily putting together costumes of various types. My own cost probably about $3,000 overall.
And what makes people do this, you suppose?
The fun. It's really fun, and you've got kind of, when you start going to festivals, you meet people and you get kind of a Renaissance Fair family, and it's nice to travel around to fairs and meet the people that you've gotten to know so well over the past few years.
People really get into their characters, don't they?
Oh yeah. Some people, to varying degrees, some people you won't ever see them say or do anything outside of what their Renaissance Festival character is. Some people will do it for a couple hours and then they'll get tired and change into normal clothes for a while.
Tell me a story about some time when you were at one of these and you thought, now that person's really into this.
The Tennessee Renaissance Festival frequently has a weekend where it's miserable and rainy and cold. There are rivers running through the streets because of all the rainfall. And there are a select few patrons that, no matter what the weather is like, they will show up in full garb and trek around in the mud and water and still have fun every time.
Where do you get your inspiration from? Is there a book that you read that got you started? Tell me about how all this began for you.
I do read a lot of medieval fantasy books, but probably really my start was finding my dad's old Dungeons and Dragons manuals on the bottom bookshelf when I was 3 or 4 years old and flipping through them, looking at all the cool pictures and reading about all the heroes and monsters. And It's just kind of stuck with me my entire life.
There's an intersection, isn't there, between gamers and reenactors, folks who are into this?
Oh yeah, definitely. A reenactor will go out and put on the gear in real life and really experience it. And for a gamer, it's It's kind of the same when they sit down in a chair and turn on their console or computer. They're in that world.
What's hot this year? What's a thing that you've seen people really interested in?
Let's see. I mean, we sell a lot of swords and daggers.
You ever see somebody and decide you want to not sell them a sword for some reason or another?
Yes. Every so often, you'll see somebody come in and they'll pick up a sword, and it's obvious that they should never, ever, ever own a sword. They'll swing it over their back and nearly put out an eye, and you're like, okay, that's it. Your touching privileges are done.
Have you ever been in your costume and walked into a store or someplace where you were got a reaction from people?
Absolutely. I went to Walmart a couple of years ago, and I had a kid walk up and go, "Mom, look, it's a pirate." I'll be walking down the store in this particular outfit, and you'll kind of walk past an aisle and see a lady looking at a can of beans and look up and then do a double take. What is that doing here? Sort of reaction. It's a good way to get some fun. Me and a friend went to Wendy's one time after a Renaissance festival just to get something to eat, and the manager walks up and hands us free ice creams, and he's like, "Man, it was hot out there, I bet, today." And we're like, "Yes, it was." And he gave us ice cream on the house and sat down and talked to us about the Renaissance festival for a few minutes.
I'll bet Pirates of the Caribbean was good for business.
It was, yeah. When Pirates of the Caribbean came out, I think just about everybody that does Renaissance festivals put together a pirate outfit.
David Ballou of Cleveland, Tennessee, selling swords, shields, and other gear at a shop in the middle of the Renaissance Fair in Fishers recently. The swords are real, well, real enough, that he says they occasionally have to take them out of the hands of reckless customers who start swinging them around.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
I'm Diana Ballou from Nashville, Tennessee. I work for Hamish's Dreck, and we sell leather and weapons.
Yeah, I love the part where you say, you know, we're Wrens.
We're Rennies. That's what we call ourselves, those of us who go on the road full-time or as much as we're able to with real life intruding. There's sort of a community. We don't all travel together, but we'll see each other here and there, maybe one weekend a year, maybe 12 weekends a year. But it's comfortable, it's relaxed, it's almost like gypsies in a way. We're just everywhere all the time. It's fun. There's never any time where we're just like, I'm bored. That doesn't happen with us.
Tell me about your character.
I don't have a one specific character. I'm usually somebody different every single day that I come to fair. Yesterday I was sort of a peasant maiden. I'm a little bit more warrior-y today. Some days I'm a troll. Some days it's all dragons. So I like being anybody.
Tell me about the people who come to the Renaissance Fair.
Occasionally we get someone who's just wandered in who has no idea what they're in for. And those are always good because, especially the kids, they just get this big-eyed look of wonder that's magic to them. And then other people, it's a way of life. It's people who will come in, any chance they get, they'll do full costumes. They'll spend a lot of time because this is what they really, really enjoy. Usually very crafty people. Lots of people make their own. Lots of gamers, lots of historians. A lot of very educated people who just like the history, but they also like fantasy, so like combining this is the best of both worlds. It's our ideal history, not our actual history.
Well, there's a bit of fantasy. I mean, it's talk about that, the influences of things like Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings is probably the biggest influence. We've got our elves, we've got our dwarves, we've got, occasionally someone will come in as a troll. We get fairies a lot. Occasionally you'll see a ring wraith walking around, but there's also sci-fi. There'll be time travelers. So people will come in as the Doctor or as stormtroopers. There's almost always one of those around too.
Do people ever meet their future spouses and folks like that at things like this?
Yes, they definitely do. I know a lot of people who have gotten married at fair. They met at fair. Most of my close friends I've met just walking around one day and we're just like, hey, you look like a fun person. And then we're friends.
Have you ever been in character and wandered into a restaurant or someplace in the real world?
Every week. I'm as comfortable in these clothes as I am in normal clothes. I'm a lot more confident. I'm very shy outside of fair, extremely shy. So this gives me something to talk to. Kids will come up and ask me about it. And it reminds me of how I got started, because I was very, very young. My very first memory that I can actually date is of the Tennessee Renaissance Festival. I was maybe 1 year old. I was being carried. I saw a fairy. I saw castles. I saw a faun, and I thought it was the best thing I'd ever seen, and it stuck. It really, really stuck. Occasionally, I'll see some kid walk up, and I might be a troll, or I might be a fairy, or I might be a warrior, and they'll just have this look, and I'm like, I know something just clicked in their brain and they are going to be back.
Can you tell me a story about an experience where you were at one of these fairs?
Well, for me, it's a little bit different working. I started out as a patron, and then we have platrons. Those are the people who really dress up and get into it. And then when Hamish offered me a job, I kind of didn't want to lose the platron thing. I've been told by some people that it might lose some of the magic if you see all the background things. But my very favorite thing is early in the morning, before all the crowds come in, maybe after we open, but sometimes before, and just walking around, looking at all the tents, looking at all the booths, looking at all the people getting ready for their day, but they're getting in costumes, they're getting on weapons, they're walking their horses around. And to me, that is just absolute magic. It gains magic.
How are Rennies different from regular folks? And is there a transition that comes over people as they become Rennies?
There definitely is. There's not really much in the way of expectations. You can be anybody you want to be. You can be different people every day. A lot of people who do this kind of feel awkward in normal situations, but here we're where we really want to be, doing what we really want to do. And it's very friendly, it's very open. Even though we might be across the country most of the year, we're close. You don't greet people with a handshake, you greet people with a hug. And I love that. It's just joyous most of the time. Even days when we're miserable and cold and tired, we never go, I hate my job. That never happens.
When people talk to you, what do they ask you?
Probably the biggest thing is, did you make all that? And most of the time, I get to answer, yes. Sometimes friends made it. I almost at least know the person who made my things, because it's a lot of very crafty people.
If you could go back into time, would you go? Is there a place that you would go? Is there a period that you would find interesting, a place you'd want to be?
I would love, love, love to visit almost every time period. I like everything from classics to very close to the present, though I would be hesitant about going myself because I'm kind of a sickly person and I wouldn't last very long at all.
How long do you think you'll continue doing this?
As long as I can, until my body breaks down and doesn't allow me to do it anymore, because the more I do this, the more I want to. The more I'm on the road, the more I like to travel. It's absolutely my dream job.
Diana Ballou from Nashville, who says she is a Rennie, or a person who travels the circuit of Renaissance fairs across the country. She is the sister of David Ballou, who we met earlier. They explained as well as anybody we met at the Renaissance Fair in Fishers recently why it is that some people are so fascinated with this time period and dress themselves up in period clothes, cloaks, weapons, you name it.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
We are Laura and Kyle and Haley Rader, and we came to the Renaissance Fair today just to check out all of the different acts and especially to see the jousting. And then every year he eats a turkey leg as big as his head, and he did not disappoint us again this year. He doesn't look like much, but he can really put away the food. And then we went to see the Queen. And we saw a Punch and Judy show, and it's really been, in spite of the cold, it's really been a fantastic day.
Haley, tell me about the visit with the Queen.
It was actually pretty fun. I curtsied. I was kind of nervous. I kept like smiling, and so I was like, ah! And she gave me a crown, that I think it's really pretty. And my favorite color is on it. It's like the turquoise whitish. So I like that color.
Kyle, tell me, what's the best thing that you've seen out here?
The best thing I've seen is I would say the Punch and Judy show, because that was hilarious. I mean, if no one's have come to the Renaissance Fair yet, you should come like right now. It's really fun. I mean, the Punch and Judy show was hysterical. I'm glad that my mom took me here.
Aww.
Tell me about coming to this. I mean,
Well, the jousting is always like my favorite part, and we haven't been able to come in a couple of years, but it was real this year. Like real sticks, real hitting, real armor, real falling off the horses. Like, it was a little scary, to be honest. Like, I really thought somebody was going to get hurt, but it was fun to see.
How close are you to becoming one of these people dressing up?
Maybe next year. I'm already thinking about what's in my Halloween tub that maybe we could use. So maybe next year.
I need a new princess outfit.
Yes, you need a new princess outfit. Yeah, the costumes that the people are walking around in are pretty spectacular too, just the spectators. There's a guy with a hot air balloon. I've seen a man that looks like a bird. Like, it's just, I was telling them it's almost like the Comic-Con of the medieval times.
What is it about this time period you think that people find fascinating?
Well, I think other than getting to play dress up, right? Like, the costumes are fantastic and everything is just kind of over the top and pretty, and the entertainment, instead of being like something that they're staring at the screen, it's interactive, and the jokes are for all levels, and the actors and actresses or performers, I'm not sure how they prefer to be referred to, but you can tell that they practice all year long and really put a lot of effort into creating these shows. I mean, they take it very seriously, and so it's easy to immerse yourself in what's going on. Like, it feels real when you're in here.
So my name is Adam Fivish, and I'm Romeo the Red, and I'm the chairman of the Fishers Renaissance Fair.
Tell me who Romeo the Red is.
Romeo the Red is a scoundrel. He's a character. And he is the lead singer for a group called Red Rum. We do pirate shanties and sort of Celtic, Irish music. A lot of stuff that we've written ourselves. And it's just a hoot, a blast.
Who are the people who come to this event?
Everyone. Anybody from the age of infant to 80, 90 years old. In fact, the first year we had the fair, we had a lovely old lady who came specifically to meet the queen. And we took her up a hill because it was on the top of the hill. We had to actually carry her. And we carried her up the hill and we got her knighted. And, you know, it's one of those things. That's the things that make us happy. We, you know, the smiles on people's faces when they come through the door, and the smiles and the laughter during the time that they spend here, and a smile when they leave.
Some people may not realize that there are folks who really are big Renaissance Fair fans. Describe this thing that people do.
Well, you know, it's a chance to sort of throw off your worries, be somebody else for a day. You know, there's a lot of stress out there right now in the world with all the weird things that are going on, and, you know, politics and, you know, world disasters. And this is a chance to just sort of go back to the ancient days when, you know, there was no nuclear weapons and there was no, you know, Ebola virus and things like that, and just sort of relax for a chance and just have a good time and, you know, be somebody else.
How has this changed in 10 years?
Wow, you know, the first year, we never thought it was going to be more than 1 year. It was sort of this thing we did. The whole idea behind the fair is we have a sister city. Fishers has a sister city, which is Billericay in England. Billericay is a very old town. It actually started in the Roman era, so it's a very exciting place. And we decided, and it was about 11 or 12 years ago, we started planning the first one. And it's called the Sister Cities Association of Fishers. That it would be fun to do something to sort of celebrate our relationship with Billericay in England. And we thought, okay, let's do a Renaissance Fair. It was one of those things we thought, okay, let's do it once, see how it goes. And I knew from the beginning that it was going to be something special and that we were going to keep going. I had been involved in some other Renaissance fairs over the years, and I just saw something. There was a spark. And the people of Fishers are just fantastic people, and they just embraced it. And then over time, we started getting people coming in from out of state, from other areas in Indiana. And of course, now it's actually only about 18% local Fishers people. And the rest are either from out of town, and a lot of people from out of state were starting to fill up hotel rooms.
What are some of the numbers? How many people come here? How many vendors you have? Some of those.
So in a typical year, we have about 10,000 patrons. It depends on the weather, of course. Some years a little bit more, some years a little less. I think the best year we ever had was the year when it was 90 degrees out. And, you know, we had like 15,000 people, and it was just incredible. But generally about 10,000. The artisans come from all over the country, Florida, Texas, you know, some of them even come from California. Same thing is true for the entertainers. We hire the best entertainers in the circuit because we really want to put on a good show. We're not a business, so that's, you know, it's really about putting on a great show and making sure that the people leave happy and entertained.
There are Renaissance fairs all over the country.
Indiana, when we started, there were no other Indiana Renaissance fairs. And now there are about four or five that are starting to pop up. They're much smaller. They're just getting their start. We love to see that. We love to see that because, you know, it gives us somewhere to go when we're not on. But yeah, I mean, it's a big deal because people come out here and they come and they can see juggling and they can see jousting. They can see sword fighting and comedy and Shakespeare and music and eat turkey legs. And it's just so much fun.
Is there something about this period, and there's the fantasy piece of it too, but I mean,
right.
Is there something about the values of that time, do you think, that's attractive to people?
You know, it probably is something like that. The history, you know, the romance, knights and queens and kings and jesters. You know, it's a very interesting period of our history. You know, the whole Robin Hood thing and Ivanhoe.
That is Adam Fivish, chair of the Fishers Renaissance Fair. That is a New York accent you hear. He moved to Indiana as a chemical researcher for a pharmaceutical company. When he's not discovering new molecules to cure disease, he adopts the character of Romeo the Red at these festivals, and he is the chair of the event in Fishers each fall. Before him, we heard Laura Rader and her son and daughter, Kyle and Haley. And that, now that we have returned safely to the present, is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Doman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.